Today's scripture is from Luke 4, verses 1 through 13. Now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wild. For 40 days and nights he was tested by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when the time was up, he was hungry. The devil, playing on his hunger, gave the first test. Since you're God's son, command this stone to turn into a loaf of bread. Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy, "It takes more than bread to really live." For the second test, he led him up and spread out all the kingdoms of the earth on display at once. Then the devil said, "They're yours in all their splendor to serve your pleasure. I'm in charge of them all and can turn them over to whomever I wish. Worship me, and they're yours, the whole works." Jesus refused again, backing his refusal with Deuteronomy. "Worship the Lord your God, and only the Lord your God. Serve him with absolute single-heartedness." For the third test, the devil took him to Jerusalem and put him on top of the temple. He said, "If you are God's son, jump. It's written, isn't it, that he has placed you in the care of angels to protect you. They will catch you. You won't so much as stub your toe on a stone." "Yes," said Jesus, "and it's also written, don't you dare tempt the Lord your God." That completed the testing. The devil retreated temporarily, lying in wait for another opportunity.
There's something fascinating that happened in that scripture. There's a lot fascinating, actually, but there's one thing that really caught my attention in reading that scripture from Luke 4, and that was Satan just quoted scripture. Now, if you think about that, that's a lot to ponder. Satan quoted scripture, and he quoted it accurately. We read it earlier in the service today in Psalm 91. Satan knows the Bible, capable of quoting the Bible, and quoted it accurately. That tells us a lot. The Bible, if we just take pieces of it here and there, can be used even by Satan. The Bible, if we just take parts of it out of its context and out of its true meaning, can actually be used for harm. And so we have to use the Bible the way Jesus did. Jesus quoted the Bible too. And so if both Jesus and Satan can quote the Bible, we got to make sure we use it the right way. And so a couple of things are things I want to do today. I want to make sure we talk about how we use the Bible, and in the context of today's scripture, how we deal with temptation. And both of those questions are answered the same way. So how we use the Bible correctly and how we overcome temptation, both those questions have the same answer. And we see this in what Jesus did just prior to this event, to this temptation. And that is, Jesus prayed. 40 days he was in the wilderness, he was praying. For 40 days he prayed. He fasted and prayed for 40 days. This is absolutely critical, that we are in touch with the Spirit of God in our life, because without that, even Satan can quote the Bible. It is absolutely critical that we are in touch with the Spirit of God in our life, because we are going to be tempted, because even Jesus was tempted. There's no real escape from that. There will always be temptations in our life. And I'm not talking about those abstract things of, oh, yeah, we're always tempted by stuff. I don't mean that. I'm talking about the destructive stuff in our life. I'm talking about the things that we have in our life that we tell ourselves we're not going to do that again. And then we do. You know those things that you do every now and then? And you think, why am I so stupid? Why am I doing this again? I I swore I wasn't going to do it like that again. I told myself I wasn't going to do that. And then maybe for a while you even don't. And then you do and you think, why do I keep doing this? I'm doing the very thing I don't want to do. That's actually in Scripture too. The Apostle Paul says that. Doing the very thing I don't want to do. You know, those things like sometimes your temper might get the best of you. And you think, I'm not going to do this again. No matter what they say, I'm going to stay calm. I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to mouth off. I'm not going to lose my temper. I'm not going to raise my voice. I'm not going to do this. And then you do. And you beat yourself up for it. And you think, what's wrong with me? What in the world is wrong with me? There's no reason for me to do this, and yet I do. You know, those relationships we get into that are toxic and destructive, and then we say, I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to put myself in a place where I'm in a relationship with a toxic person that is abusive towards me, and then we look at a series of relationships in life, and they're toxic and abusive. There's those times that we struggle with our finances, and we're like, you know what? I'm going to get on a budget, and I'm not going to overspend, and I'm going to have set things for everything. And then at the end of the month, we've got no money, and we think, why do I do this? I've got plenty of money. Why do I do this to myself? Why do I stress myself like this by overspending when I've got plenty for my needs? I get stuff I don't need. Why do I do this? Those are the temptations that destroy us. Temptations is not this abstract thing of, oh yeah, there's lots of things in the world that could tempt us. I'm talking about those things that destroy us, that cause us to live exactly the kind of life we don't want to live. And we think, why in the world do I keep doing this to myself? It's because temptation is real. That the tempter is real. And the tempter is really good at being the tempter. Even to the point that he can use Scripture to do it. Even to the point he can use the good things that God has given us in order to destroy our life. And so if we are going to overcome temptation, if we are going to get out of this cycle of doing stuff that we've decided we're not going to do, that messes up our life, that makes us exactly the kind of person we're trying not to be, and spend that time thinking, I don't know what's wrong with me, why am I doing this again? To get out of that cycle, we have to pray. Jesus did not go into that temptation before prayer. 40 days, 40 nights. He was praying. He was fasting. He was praying. He was in touch with the Father before any of that ever happened. See, a lot of times we kind of go about our business and we go about our routine, we do our thing, whatever that is. We're busy, we got our jobs, we got our habits, we got our hobbies, we take care of the house, we do all the things of life. And then something comes along that we find destructive in our life, that we're struggling with, and we're looking around wondering where God is. We have got to be in touch with God, and that comes through prayer. That comes to being in touch intentionally with God. And this is something that I have been on this journey. Because there was a time in my life that I would have said, yeah, prayer's important. Yeah, it's important. I just didn't really practice it all that much. And I have come to the understanding in my life that there is nothing more important than prayer for a Christian. That's it. That's the most important thing, by far. And so I'm on this journey. When I keep saying this is the most important thing, I'm on this journey, and I hope you are too. That there was a time that I kind of knew was important, but I didn't pay attention to it. And now I'm a lot more focused on it than I used to be, but I'm not where I need to be yet. Kind of getting there, but it's a process. And that's what I want us to do. I hope that you'll do that too. I don't think we're where we need to be necessarily, but I hope we're better than we were. And we can be better tomorrow than we were in the past. There is nothing more important than this, because even to understand the Bible itself, we have to be in touch with God, because Satan can quote Scripture. Anybody can do that. Even Satan can quote Scripture and quoted it accurately. Pulled it right out. So to even understand the Bible, to even hear the words of Scripture in the right way, it has to come from the Spirit of God. We have to understand the personality of God Himself. And that comes through being in touch with God in prayer. See, a lot of people look at the Bible and they struggle. Sometimes there'll be arguments about the Bible. You've heard these, right? There's arguments about the Bible. There's a million of them. You can pick one. And both sides are quoting Scripture. Both sides are quoting Scripture at the same time. One of the things about Scripture, it tells us about God. It is the story of God. Scripture is prayer. St. Benedict wrote a lot about this. Scripture and prayer are the same thing. They're two sides of the same coin. One is the other. As we pray, very often we think about speaking words to God. Scripture is God's words to us. It is God's conversation with us. It is teaching us the very story of God Himself. And sometimes the Scripture, boy, it gets cumbersome, because God is so vast. God is higher and bigger and wiser than us. And Scripture becomes this thing that if we just pull it out, we miss parts of it. We miss important parts of God. For example, very simple example, even simplistic example. One of the things I used to do years ago, I haven't done it in a long time, but I used to love to ski. I need to take that back up again. A lot of good skiing in Europe, so I need to do that. But I haven't done it in many years, but I used to go quite a bit. In the wintertime, I'd go ski. And I'm not in great shape. Too many kilos. And so it was exhausting. Skiing is a really athletic thing, and it was exhausting, and yet it was exhilarating. It was this exhilarating, exhausting experience. And I would tell people, if they asked me, how was your ski trip? I would say it was exhilarating and it was exhausting. And those are two different things. Those are complete opposites. One is high and joyful and exciting, and the other is low and a struggle. How can you have exhilarating and exhausting at the same time? Well, if you know me and my personality, you wouldn't be surprised by that at all. Because you know if I'm having fun, I'm excited, I'll get into something and I'll do it until I'm just exhausted. Now, somebody with more sense than me would just do it moderately and pace themselves, but no. If I'm excited about something, I'll throw myself into it and I'll just do it until I'm utterly exhausted, because that's kind of part of my personality. And so people who know me and I say it was exhilarating and it was exhausting, while those two things are opposites, if you know me, it makes perfect sense. And this is how we have to approach the Bible. The Bible can, in many ways, be confusing until we know God Himself. If we just pull out individual parts of Scripture, it can get very confusing and even contradictory. And yet, when we know God, we are in tune with God, all of it begins to make sense. Even the parts that seem contradictory begin to fill out the very personality of God Himself, to begin to explain to us who God is. And as we understand God and we understand Scripture and we get Scripture into our life, as Jesus knew the Scriptures every single time He was quoting a Scripture, every single time Satan was coming at Him with something, He was quoting a Scripture. Now, Satan can quote Scripture, and yet Jesus could use this in His fullness because He was in touch with God. Jesus wasn't just randomly pulling out things. He was in touch with the Father Himself, and the Scripture was reinforcements of this connection with God. Jesus understood the Scripture. Satan could quote it. He could use it, misuse it. Jesus understood the Scriptures as the very story of God Himself. And so it wasn't this confusing thing of, well, the Bible says this, but what about this? It was a story of God that went with prayer. Prayer and scripture are the same thing. It is the conversation with God. Two sides of the same coin. Two pieces of bread in the same panini. We have to have both. Prayer and scripture go together. If you're just learning pieces of scripture, especially if you're just learning pieces of scripture that somebody else says is there. I'm going to say that again. If you're just learning pieces of scripture that somebody else tells you is there, be very careful. Okay? Be very careful with that. And if you're just learning pieces of scripture here and there and you're not praying, be very careful with that. And if you're just praying and you're talking but you're not reading the scripture, that's not a dialogue. That's just you talking. Okay, it's a start. Don't stop doing that. But the Bible is God's words to us, God's conversation, God's story that God has given us. It becomes that two-way conversation as we interact with the scriptures, with the Spirit of God. If we know the scriptures and we are praying a lot, we are in touch with the Spirit of God, this begins to change life. When the temptations of life come along, the destructions of life, the confusions of life, those things in our life that we think, why am I doing this again? Those things begin to change as we are in touch with God. And we fully understand the scriptures as the person of God. We begin to understand what God is saying to us as individuals, as families, as a church. He speaks to us through his scripture, showing us the picture of God. And if different parts of it seem to contradict, it's because God is complex. God is not simplistic. We need to see the full picture of who God is. And when things are confusing in the scriptures, it's not a matter of us decoding. It's a matter of us hearing from the Spirit of God. And then, as Jesus was in touch with the Father, as Jesus spent time in prayer, a lot of time in prayer, he was in touch with the Father, connected with the Spirit of God. The temptations came along. He understood how to deal with that based on what he had learned in Scripture, the words of Scripture. He was able to have strength in that. And as he dealt with those temptations, the Bible tells us the angels came. The angels came, ministered to him. We're not in this by ourselves. It's not a matter of us being tough and being strong. We're not in this by ourselves. We're not in this fight of life and this difficulty of this world alone. We are together in this. And we have God with us. And we have the fullness of the spiritual world with us. There is so much there in the Spirit of God to strengthen us, to move us through this life to new understandings. This is not just a matter of being tough. This is not just a matter of being strong or having a certain understanding. This is a matter of being together, of discussing, of learning, of growing, and growing in the Spirit and allowing the Spirit of God to minister to us in the midst of these struggles. Jesus shows us how to overcome temptation. He shows us how to use the fullness of Scripture. He shows us that he is not even trying to do this alone. He allows the angels to minister to him in the midst of that and as in recovery of that. We are not in this alone. Too many Christians are trying to pull themselves up by their bootstraps, grit their teeth, and face the world, and that is never what we are taught to do. We are taught to be together, to learn from one another, to search the scriptures together, to pray together. We are taught to allow the Spirit of God to minister to us. We are taught that there is a whole spiritual realm out there that we don't understand, but is there with us on our side. The angel armies are with us. We sang that song earlier. Do we believe that? Do we believe the God of the angel armies is on our side? We don't have to go through this life beating ourselves up thinking, why did I do this again? Why am I so stupid? What is wrong with me? What's wrong with us is we live in a fallen world and we repeatedly are being tempted by the one who would destroy us. That's what's wrong. And if we want to overcome that, we have to pray. It has to be the most important thing in our life. The most important thing in the life of the Christian has to be prayer. That's a journey. That's not a switch we flip overnight. That is a journey of understanding and growth, but we need to be on that journey. That the most important thing we are is in touch with the Father. We are in touch with God. Just as Jesus set that example for us, we have to do that. We have to know the scriptures and not just little pieces of them and not what somebody said about it. We have to be hearing from God in God's word, allowing God to reveal God's self in God's scripture. That scripture is prayer and prayer is scripture. And we have to understand that this is not an individual fight. The angel armies are on our side, and sometimes those angels are going to be right here around us in this church. Sometimes those angels are going to be in our family, our friends, our coworkers, or it could be a spiritual movement where God sends help deep in our spirit. But we are not in this fight alone. We don't have to keep destroying ourselves, destroying our life, hurting other people. We don't have to live that life. Jesus shows us that life can be different than that. We don't have to throw up our hands and think, well, this is just how it is. This is just how I am. This is just what I deal with. No. Jesus shows us a different way. We need to embrace that with prayer, with scripture, and learning from each other and learning from the Spirit of God. We change our life. And so each week, we pray together. That's what we do. We do a lot of important things in the service every week. But maybe the most important thing we do, in fact, I'm not going to say maybe, I'm going to say the most important thing we do is we pray together. I love singing, I love preaching, I love all of this, but everything leads to a moment where we join our hearts together before God and we pray. And we invite anyone who would like to pray aloud. I'll start our prayer together. And anyone who would like to pray aloud, we invite you to do that. And you can pray in any language that you like. Any language that you feel comfortable praying in, please feel free to do that. Or if no one prays aloud, we can just pray together silently because God hears the words on our heart. But it is a big, scary world out there. And the tempter is really good at what the tempter does. He can even use scripture to do it, misuse scripture to do it. We need to be together in prayer. In learning the scripture, supporting each other, to know that the angel armies are on our side, and we do all that in this place as we join our hearts in prayer. So could we pray together? God, you've heard us many times. You've heard us as we have chastised ourselves, wondering, why did I do this again? What is wrong with me? Why do I keep doing this? Or maybe you've heard us come to a place in our life where we just accept it. We know it's not ideal. We know it's not your will for us. We know it's wrong, but we just believe that this is who I am, and I'm just going to keep doing whatever it is that I do. God, you have showed us a way. In Jesus, you have shown the importance of prayer, the importance of knowing the scriptures, not just being able to quote a scripture here and there as Satan did to misuse it, but to truly hear from your word, your spirit, to understand who you are because of the scripture you have given us. And to follow you. And we have the angel armies on our side. That may be a spiritual statement. It can be the angels that are around us right now in this room as we support each other, that you have placed us together
to support each other, to learn from each other, to help along the way. And so, Lord, we come joining our hearts together in prayer. Give us a moment that is connected with you. That we don't face a big, scary world of constant struggle and temptation by ourselves. We have each other, we have you. Let us be connected. Let us love you. Let us know your love as we lift our prayers to you.